Welcome to Small Business Insights, where back office conversations give us insight to what's really going on. Is it grit or luck that gives a small business owner an advantage? Let's find out. I'm your host, Laura Fisher. Well, welcome today. I have a special guest in the studio. I have Jonathan Lopez from Lopez Mexican Restaurant. Jonathan, welcome. I want you to say hi to my guest.
Hello, everyone. Thank you, Laura, for having me here.
You're welcome. This is his first time to come into a studio, so you'll warm up. I'm sure my listeners are going to love listening to your story. So, Jonathan, we met just today. So, but Ken Kaiser, he's my secret agent. He set you up to come and be on the show. So I have been a patron of Lopez Mexican Restaurant. I've been to the one in Richmond, and you are the owner of that. But tell us a little bit more about the restaurant, your family history, because this wasn't your first location. You said you've been in business for 44 years.
44 years. Yeah, my parents opened the restaurant, the original location on Woodcrest in 1978 in a strip center.
Yeah.
My dad, you know, came to the U.S. in the 60s, you know, worked alongside my uncle in the restaurant business. And, you know, they worked, I think it was El Patio, El Felix, Loma Linda, La Siberia was his last job before he opened, you know, Lopez.
Right.
And, you know, he always had a dream to have his own business, and it, you know, it just came along, you know, the opportunity came along, and, you know, they settled on the Woodcrest. It was a restaurant before then. There was two restaurants before then. So they went in and they were able to buy the equipment on auction,
you know, really that's cheap. Good.
So it was like second generation, you know, restaurant. So that's how it all started.
So this was in 1978. And so there wasn't as many Mexican food restaurants then as there are now.
Correct.
So it was in a strip center. And so people would walk in. Would they eat and dine in there?
They would dine in. You know, it was probably about 33,000 square feet. It was a small location. And yeah, just little by little, you know, it took a while. One of the funny stories that my mom and dad have is that, you know, the first week that they opened, the first day that he opened, he cooked this big old pot of, you know, ground beef, you know, because that's what he just saw at the other restaurant that was, you know, very busy. And, you know, they only sold like $34, you know, of food.
Yeah.
You know, that first day, and here they had this big old pot of beef, you know. So those are one of the stories, you know, he was thinking.
Those,
you know,
lessons you learned.
Yeah. And so, you know, obviously they made adjustments.
So you obviously growing up in the restaurant.
Yeah, I was 11, you know, and a month later I was 12. My sister was probably 7 years old.
So did you help out? Were you in the back?
Oh, yeah.
What were you doing when you just started?
So our daily routine was get up in the morning, go to school. They would take us to school, drop us off. Of course, they would go back to the restaurant. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock came around. One of them would pick us up. We'd go back to the restaurant. So the restaurant was, that's where we lived.
Did your homework.
We stayed there till they closed, went home, got up in the morning and did it.
Yeah.
You know, for many years.
So, have you always been with the restaurant, or have you gone off on your own and come back?
Only job.
So what do you do for Lopez?
I would say do a little bit of everything. You know, I work alongside my brother and sister. We're a great team. You know, we work together. We all have our little, you know, our own responsibilities. My sister takes care of like social media, you know, and HR. My brother takes care of a lot of the, you know, the finance, you know, the numbers part.
Right.
And I just kind of look over everything, you know, engage with the employees, you know, remove, you know, the obstacles, you know, set it, the expectations.
Right. So you're like the operations guy.
I would say the operations.
Or the hands-on with the employees and the
right.
food.
Yes.
Yeah. That, you know, I'm amazed how many employees it takes to run a restaurant, because it takes a lot. How many people do you have on a regular shift? Do you have like 10, 15, 30?
At a Woodcrest location, we have about 80. And then at the Richmond location, we have about 45.
And how many are when it's a Friday night, how many people do you have working?
Everyone.
It takes that many?
Yeah. The Woodcrest location is pretty, I mean, we see like 275 people. So it's a bigger footprint than the Richmond location.
Okay.
And it's a little busier, you know, so we have a really strong lunch crowd. So we usually have to have a full staff.
Wow. Now, how do you pay people? How do you pay restaurant folks?
So if you earn tips, then, you know, the wage is much lower than a regular, like a cook.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, tipped employees earn, you know, somewhere in the range between $2.50 and $5, depending on how long they've been with us.
Really?
But then, you know, they make the rest on tips, which could bump them up to, you know, between $15 to $25 an hour.
Right.
You know, so that's the way that works. And then you have your wage ranges, you know, and your cooks and hosts, you know, the non-tipped people.
Right. So, and you've been in business for so long. Have you had some really long time employees?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We've had, you know, in the kitchen, you know, being in business for 44 years, you know, some of the gentlemen have, you know, they've gotten older.
Yeah.
You know, they've retired. Sadly, some have, you know, passed away. You know, it's kind of sad, but, you know, it's, you know, we miss them. But then you have the new crop, you know, coming in. But yeah, you know, and just like with employees, you know, as, you know, customers, you know, you get to see second and third generation customers as well, being in business that long.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Yeah, because you're celebrating birthdays and with your customers, yes, all the time.
Yes, and you see that little kid, a little girl that used to come in when they were little, and, you know, now they come in and have their own kids.
And so since you're in the operations and are you primarily in the restaurant walking around? Do you see people and they go, hey, Jonathan?
You know, not as much now because my role has changed a little bit now, especially with the second location.
Okay.
You know, so it's more of, you know, making sure that the team, you know, the managers, you know, have what they need.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just finding my place to bring, you know, the biggest value to the restaurant.
Right. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the restaurant business. So you have, you've got your cost of goods, you have your service, all of your employees. How do you make money? What are the things that make the most money? Is it alcohol? Is it a certain food that people, where are your profit margins?
Well, so you have the per person average that you have, like for us, it's more, you know, value oriented, you know, as opposed to some of the where they charge a little bit more.
Okay.
So, you know, the items that you have on the menu need to be able to fit, you know, what you're going to be able to charge.
Right.
You know, the customer.
Yeah.
Right. So what we've always done is, you know, the Tex-Mex, you know, we don't have any seafood, which has, you know, higher margin. I mean, higher cost, you know, so it's, you know, been, you know, the Tex-Mex, you know, cheese enchiladas, you know, the rice, beans, you know, the tacos, quesadillas, fajitas, you know, so what was the question?
No, that's good. So no, you're saying you made a choice based on your menu. What's more profitable? And right, having the seafood is something you decided to not as have. Do you have zero seafood or
do you have zero seafood? It's mostly, you know, the enchiladas, the Tex-Mex. You know,
so that's, it's a good Tex-Mex.
Right.
I know. I've been there and I encourage any of the listeners to stop by. It is a family friendly and it is a good value. I like your prices. You know, some of the new restaurants that do serve seafood or the larger menus, I mean, it's $28, you know, sometimes for an entree, and it's like, wow. And I want Tex-Mex, you know.
Yeah, we've always tried to keep it like a small, tight menu to be able to execute, you know, and give good service to the customer. You know, having a little smaller, tighter menu also helps us execute in the kitchen. You know, be able to, you know, take out the food quicker.
Yeah,
serve the customer quicker.
All right, so let me ask you: how do you schedule all the employees? Do you have scheduling software? I only have 14 employees and I still find that can be challenging. I can't imagine what it's like with 80. Do you use a software to do clock in, clock out? How do you manage that?
So we use hot schedules to be able to, when we create the schedules, to be able to kind of post it, mm-hmm. You know, so we have now employees that are younger, you know, so,
yeah,
you know, tech savvy. So they're able to see their schedule, you know, online. But then we have, you know, the older stuff that still needs for it to get printed.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're in business for, you know, for a while, you almost kind of have, you kind of create that groove. Everybody knows when they need to work.
Right.
The great thing, you know, been very blessed is, you know, business is steady. You know, we know what it's going to be like, you know, from day to day, week to week, you know, holiday season to holiday season. So we pretty much already know how much staff we'll need, you know, for those days.
Right.
So it makes it a little easier because there's, you know, it's very steady. So that helps a lot.
That's good.
Yeah.
So how do you project? Do you look at your history all the time? How do you project what to purchase as far as your, all your ingredients and picking your vendors? But how do you know people are going to show up and that you're not going to have a lot of waste? How do you predict that?
I guess I go back, you know, just having that steady business, you know, keeping the customer happy and knowing that they're going to be coming back, you know, week after week.
Yeah.
That's a big load, you know, yeah, off of us, you know, and plus, you know, we have managers that have been with us for so long, you know, they know, you know, from week to week, you know, Christmas season is coming up. You know, after, I guess I would say Halloween, like November, December, you know, they already know we need to increase, you know, the volumes. Plus we get deliveries every day. So it helps.
Oh, that's,
you
know, good.
It helps. It's not like, well, you only order once a week and then you're going to be in a bind if you didn't order, you know, right, having a really good relationships with our vendors. It helps because if we do fall short, you know, you call your vendor and
right,
they're there to help you to, you know, get you out of a bind.
So when you make an order for food and you're doing it daily, is that something you do at night, at day, and do they deliver it pretty quick?
Yeah. So like the produce, we get it every day. You know,
you have a standard, place, you have a standard delivery.
One delivery, one company, yeah, you know, okay, Quality Produce, you know, Tony there with us. He knows what we need. Yeah. He knows if we order 10 cases of avocado, the avocados needs to come in ready to use off the truck, as opposed to you may have a vendor that, you know, you may get a few cases that are still green and you can't use them. You have to wait. So we're kind of spoiled, you know, so you have vendors that, you know, take care of you.
You're spoiled because you've been in business so long. You got that relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and one thing that, you know, my dad always said, you know, pay Uncle Sam for, you know, always pay Uncle Sam, pay your vendors, pay your employees. And if something left over, you know, keep the rest for yourself. But it was that, it's always taking care of the vendors. And when you do that, you know, it's, you know, they have to make a living as well. So they know that you're taking care of them and they put their best forward for you.
Yeah. No, I think that's good advice. So let me ask you another question. How did y'all manage through COVID, the pandemic?
Team. I guess I would say
team. How creative did you get?
Team. Well, we had to pivot. We had to, you know, when they closed, you know, the dining rooms, we had already had, back in 2015, we did a curbside at the Woolcrest location.
Okay.
So we were kind of already set up for like high volume to go. So we just had to pivot, you know, and one of the decisions that we made, you know, early on during the pandemic was, you know, were we going to keep the home menu or we were just going to streamline it?
Right.
And what we decided to do was we created these Triumph trays. And it was, that's all we were going to do.
What's a Triumph tray?
Triumph tray was enchiladas, rice and beans, quesadillas, and fajita tacos. And that was it. It was one package. It served four people. So when people were calling in,
that sounds perfect.
It was perfect for four people. Cause at that time, you know, everybody was eating at home. It
was or leftovers. We love to have leftovers from restaurants.
So we did a, you know, one price, you know, tax included, just to be able to execute when people drove up.
Yeah.
And people would call up and we weren't taking any, to go orders over the phone. You just had to show up. And
oh, really?
Yeah. So it was quick. I mean, our goal was if somebody drove up within 2 minutes, they needed to be ready to go.
You would have the tray ready?
We would have the tray ready.
Wow.
And so and it
that had to be successful.
It worked out really well. Because
how did you tell people about that?
Posted.
Yeah.
You know, social media. So that's one of the ways that we kind of got through it. You know, and I always go back to, you know, I guess it's a relationship or friendship or, you know, in our case, the team. You know, we always knew that we had a good team, you know, but yeah, just like in anything, you don't realize how good it is until you hit a bumpy road. Then that's when you realize if that was a true friendship or not. And being able to get through COVID and everybody having to pivot and change roles, and, you know, you go, okay, we did have a good team.
Were you able to keep most of those people employed during that time?
We kept everybody employed that wanted to work.
Wow.
And that was the goal. The goal was to,
that's quite a sacrifice on y'all.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was worth it. I mean, when you see the team, when you get to know them over, you know, many years, and, you know, their kids, and, you know, it's an easy decision.
Wow. I can't imagine. It was such a stressful time, and I know, I didn't own a restaurant, but I just felt bad for the restaurant industry, you know, the service industry. So I did what I could, you know. If I'd have known that, I don't live near Willcrest, I'd probably have driven up and gotten one of your Triumph trucks.
And you know what made it even, like, just kind of gave you more energy were, you know, the gratitude from the community, you know, just being very, you know, gracious, and, you know, some of the customers realizing that, you know, just them taking into consideration that, you know, the team were not working like normal hours.
Right.
So they would leave, you know, more tips. They would take care of the customers, you know, so that kind of fires you up to, like, even do better.
Yeah. You had a purpose.
Yeah.
Definitely. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about marketing and how Jonathan and his team handle reviews, good and bad. And because I'm sure it can cause a lot of anxiety, and any business owner knows what that means. So we'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. Thank you for listening to Small Business Insights. Today's show is sponsored by Keffi Spaces, new location in Houston. Air-conditioned warehouse units with loading docks, carrier services, fulfillment, break room, free Wi-Fi. The perfect place to grow your e-commerce business. Keffi Spaces, located in the Design District of Houston. And now back to Small Business Insights.
All right, we're back with Jonathan Lopez from Lopez Mexican Restaurant here in Houston and Richmond, Texas. And Jonathan, we're going to talk a little bit about how you market and stand out in Houston. Oh my gosh, you have so much competition when it comes to Mexican food restaurants. I, as a consumer, have a lot of options. So tell us how you keep your customers and keep telling them that you're here and get new customers through marketing.
I guess first and foremost, we try to take care of the customer in the building first to make sure, you know, that they leave and they tell other people. I think that's still, you know, word of mouth is still.
That's the best.
That's the best, right? Yeah. That's number one. Number two, and as far as a marketing aspect, we've never really spent a lot of money or budget towards paid advertising.
Okay.
What's always worked for us is helping, you know, the nonprofits, you know, whether it's softball team, any kind of sports.
So you have all the little plaques on the wall that you're the sponsor of such and such T-ball league and all that stuff.
Volleyball.
Okay.
You know, so that's what we've always done. You know, the church as well, you know, anytime they call us that they need, they're doing a fundraiser, whether it's gift cards or food.
Oh, that's
so that's
generous.
Always been like our form of, I guess, maybe marketing. I guess you call it marketing.
Yeah.
Goodwill. Goodwill. That's what's always worked for us.
And you mentioned earlier when we were talking that your sister does a lot of the social media.
Yes. So. Yeah. My sister, Anna, April also helps her with that. April Arias. And they do all the postings, you know, for the social media, any special events that we have going on. Like right now we have a Christmas giveaway, like 10 days of Christmas. So each day we're giving, you know, a gift out.
Oh, that's
nice. So we do that every year. So she's been preparing that since, you know, for a while now, since November.
Do you know where she posts?
Instagram, Facebook, you know, for Lopez Mexican Restaurant.
Okay.
Yeah. So
y'all can follow them. Maybe get one of those deals. And so how do you handle reviews? So I know you probably don't get many bad reviews, but everybody does, even if they deserve it or not. So how do y'all handle reviews? Because that seems to really impact maybe the first timer, not your regular customer. Your regular customer go off.
Right.
They're wrong.
I guess the reviews, we always look at them. I don't know if this is kind of weird, but we always look at it like we're guilty. And and the reason we look at it like that is because we always want to stay humble, because you could always learn.
Right.
You know, there's always something there to learn. And if you ever get to the point where, oh, these reviews are, you know, they're not legit, or you may lose an opportunity, or
absolutely,
you know, to fix something that's really wrong, you know. And I guess we look at it like that way is because, you know, we have fixed, you know, something mm-hmm. internally because of a review. You know, maybe a customer didn't want to tell us in person and he posted it for whatever reason, but you got to learn from it, you know, make sure you're not making the same mistake. So owning it, I think it's number one. And I don't see a review any different than a complaint, you know, in-house.
Right.
You know, the only thing is that you can't engage with the customer, you know, right. in that moment.
Do y'all reply to the reviews?
Oh, we reply.
Yeah.
We reply.
That's important. You know,
definitely.
I don't know if my listeners have thought about it, but when you have a business that is getting reviews, and if it's, especially if it's a negative, if you reply to it, the business owner, it shows the next person who reads the review that business owner is on top of it, that they are watching and they're seeing, and that reviews matter and it makes a difference. And we've had to explain a couple things in a review. Sorry that happened, you know, and it matters. I'm glad you take the time to do that.
Definitely. That's like where my sister takes care of all that.
And that's where your beautiful editing and your writing come yes. come through, because you're like, first, my first pass isn't so kind. The second is like very gracious.
Yes. Yeah. She's really good at that.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
So what are your biggest challenges right now in the restaurant business?
As a small business owner, I think the biggest challenges is technology. You know, technology, being able, you know, embracing it, you know, not having that, maybe that corporate, you know, support.
Yeah.
You know, it's just us. It's, you know, the technology, you know, just being, staying in front of it.
Right.
And how can we use data, you know, data to make better decisions, you know, improve the customer experience. You know, I think that would be something that I would like to stay in front of.
So when you're talking about that, are you talking about in the kitchen, managing the tables? What kind of technology? Where is technology in a restaurant?
Well, right now it's, you know, the to-go, you know, just for,
okay.
you know,
to-go
placing
orders,
you know, placing, you know, online, you know, depending on what kind of POS system you have. You know, sometimes it could be, they maybe have a module that could work in conjunction,
right.
you know, but sometimes you have, you know, different applications that work separate, you know, from your POS. So sometimes it could be a little clunky because
yes.
you have, you know, your point of sales and then you have these tablets, you know, on the side, and then it makes it a little clunky. So being able to streamline those.
Just the processes.
The processes would be great. But, you know, it's just being able to have data, you know, whether it's customer data, you know, and being able to provide, you know, an experience. Mm-hmm. Increase the experience.
What would you do with the data? Just send them an email or a follow up and just say how'd you like it, or we have a special coming up in for February. Is that how you would use the data?
Yeah, you know, personalized. That would be great. Like right. personalized, you know, a message, you know, to a person depending on their past purchases
right.
would be like really nice. That's not just a cookie cutter, you know, text message.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's just your personality coming through, right?
Yeah.
I want that to happen. Let's see. What is your favorite thing to eat at your restaurant?
Oh, the enchiladas.
What
yeah,
kind?
Yeah, the beef, the ground beef enchiladas
yeah.
with rice and beans. And yeah, that's number one.
That's your go-to.
That's my go-to. I remember sitting down with my dad and eating that as a kid. So there's some nostalgia there as well.
And what in your bar, what are some of the drinks that y'all make that people just love?
Margaritas.
Yeah?
Yeah, margaritas is number one. We have a spicy habanero margarita that's, you know, it's a little spicy. That's probably like our second most popular. But, you know, beer and margaritas
yeah.
and Tex-Mex, you know, that's pretty much what.
That's what Texans
yeah.
live on, absolutely.
Yeah, Tex-Mex and margaritas.
Well, yeah. It is really hard to get someone to change their go-to. Too. I mean, I like tacos al carbon. I love that. And that's your beef fajita.
Right.
Pretty simple. And every time I look at the whole menu and I'm like, I'll go with that. Or fish tacos. I like fish tacos too.
Yeah, they're like our customers, you know, the regulars, you know, the hostess will come. There may be like a new hostess, so she'll put the menu in front of a customer and they'll just like put it aside. Like,
yeah.
Or she's new. She doesn't know we don't need the menus.
So let's talk about tortilla chips. How important are the tortilla chips at the table? And what do you serve with them? Do you serve salsa? What do you serve? Yeah,
we have
with
the
them?
Red sauce. We have the chips. You know, we get them. We fry them there at the restaurant.
So, do you really?
Yeah, we fry them. So, you know, it depends. You know, some restaurants are, you know, thick. Some of them are medium. Some of them are thin. And right. I think that's just kind of what, you know, each restaurant has their own style.
Do all of them fry their own chips or do they buy them in bulk?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but I think most do fry just because of the space.
Oh, you know, for storage?
For storage. Because if they come in fried and you're busy, that would be it would take up a lot of room.
Didn't even think about that.
Yeah. As opposed to, But I would say the most fry them in house.
Wow. So how do you make your salsa? Is it a red sauce?
It's chunky? A red sauce. Very simple, you know, tomatoes and jalapenos, you know, we boil them, season it, you know, and grind it and put it on the table. It's pretty, pretty simple.
Wow. I can't imagine seeing all the different equipment. I've never worked in a restaurant. Well, I did actually, I lie, but I was a singer. I was in the front of the restaurant. I would sing and entertain people while they waited for their table. It was in Daytona Beach. They had to wait. It was at Aunt Catfish's in Daytona Beach, and they had to wait for their table for an hour. It was in a tourist area, so they hired me to sing and entertain them. But it looks so chaotic in the back of a kitchen and hot and sweaty.
Controlled chaos, yes. Yeah. And I think, you know, now as you know, the role is being able to, you know, to serve the staff. You know, serve the staff, making sure that they have all the tools that they need, that the equipment is functioning, that they, you know, they have, you know, all the tools. Because when those moments do come, when we do get busy, they can focus on the customer 100% and not worry about, you know, equipment not being in functioning condition or,
right.
You know, I hate, when there's a problem, that's one thing to always try to like find the root cause of the problem.
Right.
So it doesn't keep popping its head.
Yeah.
You know, and it gives credibility to the team. You know, the team sees that you care about them and they do, you know, they do their best as well.
Well, you have a lot of management responsibility if you've got that many employees because they're all different stages of life. They got stuff going on and And customers, I'm sure they're not all the best. Some of them probably.
Yeah, I would say less than, say 0.5%, you know, could be difficult.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like in anything, you're having a great day and you have one situation and you choose to whether let it ruin, you know, the rest of your day or say, hey, you know, you took care of 99% of the customers that came in.
And that's where your management style and your team managers make a difference.
Right.
On handling those upsets.
Yeah. And I think there's a peace of mind knowing that you executed, you know, correctly, you know, and if for whatever reason, you know, the customer wasn't happy. But you still, you know, you get through it, you get over it, you know, move forward.
So I know you opened a second location. Are you thinking about opening another?
Not at the moment. My son just graduated from University of St. Thomas and he just joined, you know, the company. So we'll see where that goes. Let him get his feet wet and maybe in the future sometime. But for now, we're pretty busy, you know, with, you know, the two locations, you know, very happy.
So the second location is the one that I've been to and it's lovely. It's beautiful. And it's the restaurant that is connected to Gallery Furniture, which is Mattress Mac. It's out there on Grand Parkway. And, was it hard to open up a second location?
It was difficult. Yeah, it was difficult, but it was, you know, we'd always just had that one location.
Yeah.
So it was difficult. We had a good team going in, you know, opening, you know, the restaurant. You know, the construction part, you know, as you well know, was difficult.
It was a second generation.
Yeah, it was a second generation restaurant, which helped a lot because there was already a restaurant there before.
That's good.
So that helped. But it was just challenges, you know, forming a, you know, a brand new team.
Right.
Was probably the most challenging part.
Right.
But I always kind of kept it in perspective. I remember Ben Owens, he said, Jonathan, think about he goes, you think this is difficult? Think about the restaurants that don't have a first restaurant with employees. Cause you know, we brought employees over from the first location. There's restaurants that open that have no, you know, other employees.
Right.
You know, and I thought to myself,
I have to start from scratch.
I said, okay. So, yeah. You know, sometimes it's the mindset, you know, sometimes you kind of put yourself in a dark place
and
you know, you kind of have to look another perspective and you go, okay, yeah. I'm good. Let's do this.
Yeah. All right. Well, so tell our listeners where they can come dine at your wonderful Tex-Mex restaurant. Tell us at both of the addresses.
So where they're located. The Woodcrest location is 11606 South Woodcrest.
What's it near?
It's 59 in Woodcrest. So we're one block south of
North. That's a great location.
North, yeah. And then the second location, it's at 7227 West Grand Parkway South. And we're adjacent right next to Gallery Furniture.
Yeah. And do you have a website?
Yes, www.vivalopez.com.
Viva Lopez. I like that.
Yes.
I like that. All right, Jonathan, thank you so much for coming by. I think I enjoyed visiting with you because you get to know a little bit more about the behind scenes of what it takes to run a small business and a restaurant and the challenges. I'm not sure I would be ready for it. I am not a restaurant owner gal. I think that would be so stressful. So I admire what you do, and you do it so excellently.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. All right. Until next time, you better be up to something.
Thanks for joining us this week on Small Business Insights. Make sure you visit our website at fisherpodcast.com, where you can follow the podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform, so you'll never miss a show. If you enjoyed and found value in today's episode, we'd appreciate a rating and review on iTunes, or simply share it with a friend. That would help us out too. Make sure you tune in next week for our next episode. Until then, you better be up to something.